Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast with me, Ian Welsh. I'm in Detroit at the Innovation Forum's How Business Can Measure the Impact and Return on Investment of Corporate Sustainability event that we're co-hosting with the ERB Institute. And I'm with Erica Ocampo, Global Sustainability Strategy Manager with Dow Chemical Company. Welcome to the podcast, Erica.
Thank you for having me, Ian.
So we've been talking in the event here about materiality, and I wonder if perhaps you can kick us off by giving a bit of insight as to how, from Dow's perspective, you approach the process of defining what's material to Dow.
Yeah, so the materiality concept has become more used in the last few years as we, that people that use the Global Reporting Initiative, the GRI standards, are really looking at what is relevant to the business, to the company, and to the stakeholders. The way that we approach it at Dow was looking at the things that are already driving a strategy. And at Dow, we have a long history of setting sustainability goals. So we basically use the tool to our advantage rather than trying to fit our strategy to the tool. So since we have the Dow 2025 sustainability goals that were launched back in 2015, we start looking, those are the things that are important to us, because it was a very robust process that started back in 2009. So we have an external stakeholder engagement where we send surveys to key stakeholders. We have internal focus groups talking about, hey, in the 200th birthday of the company in 2097, how do you see the company being back, like right there? So is this kind of inspiration and aspiration of the company that we want to be on our 200th birthday? And there were many ideas. So what happened is that it was a process that took several years, and we compiled all those ideas into seven goals that are now Dow's 2025 sustainability goals. And it's not just seven KPIs, there are seven goals, and under each goal, there are various KPIs. So when we start looking at the sustainability goals has established and has launched, we look at the materiality assessment and the metrics that the Global Reporting Initiative recommends to look at. And we do a match and mix of what is already there and aligns with our goals, those things that were obviously most important and aligned to our goals went up to race to the top. And it was clear for us that those were our material goals, our materiality challenges and opportunities that are part of our goals.
It's great when you hear about 2025 goals or 2030 goals, but to have 2097 goals is pretty spectacular. Once you've decided then, or you've gone through the process of defining what's material, what are the sort of things that were thrown up? What are the material aspects or the material issues for Dow?
One of our company has a large part of manufacturing. 40% of our employees are from manufacturing. So one of the goals is world-leading operations. This is kind of the bread and butter of our company. We've been doing it for many years. Our first set of sustainability goals were basically those footprint, environmental health and safety goals that really focus on everything inside our gates. So we're talking about safety, we're talking employee health, we're talking about emissions, water, waste reduction, all these goals that we started back from the 2005 goals back in 1995. So that's definitely material for our company, right? Mm-hmm. Given that it's such an important part of our company. The second really important part of our company is innovation, right? We are a solutions provider via material sciences, and we have to continuously to innovate. And over 20% of our employees are from R&D. So we have a goal that is called delivering breakthrough innovations. And this basically aligns to our second decade-long goals back that we call the 2015 goals, that is looking at breakthrough innovations for the world challenges. So we measure the impact now, not only that our company has inside the fence line of our operations, but we're looking into what are the benefits or the impacts that our products have once they leave our fence line, and how can we improve that benefit to footprint ratio of our products. So we are measuring that for our current portfolio. We're also measuring that for our innovation pipeline to really understand how we can continuously improve the benefit that we hand over to our customers and society. So those are kind of two examples of key material issues for the company.
Obviously, you've defined what's material, you've thought around a materiality process, and for engaging internally and externally. How then do you specifically take this information to drive your strategy as a business?
Mm-hmm. So DAO is a company that has several business units. Like one solution is not going to fit all, which is the beauty of having these seven bold goals that bring that foundation and that structure per se, but everything inside of that building of goals, like the decorations or the color that is going to be painted on, that those hues can be provided by each business unit to approach their market more customizable, more efficiently, more effectively. Mm-hmm. And that's how we address it at the business level. There are some things like the footprint to handprint ratio that I was mentioning to you about. And there are many ways that we can measure that from the businesses. You know, there are benefits that address water, some benefits that address human health, etc. But we decided to simplify it for the company. We're going to focus externally reporting the CO2 emissions handprint to footprint ratio. Mm-hmm. But each business still is going to be able to measure their own different variables. And another way that we take it is we develop something internally called the Sustainable Chemistry Index. And it is an annual survey that we do to each sub-business unit. And we have a great amount of people from each sub-business unit, from marketing, from R&D, from manufacturing, from communications, telling us about in the last year what they have done in four different segments that we ask for. So we ask for risk, we ask for awards and recognition, we ask for strategy, we ask for value chain. And there are many questions underneath those four sections. And that's a way for us to enable sub-business units to talk about sustainability on their own language and then normalize it at the corporate level.
So materiality is something that many businesses and individuals find daunting, but it's a core part of something else that people find daunting, which of course is reporting, sustainability reporting. Mm-hmm. Specifically. How do you use your materiality process that we've discussed to frame your reporting strategy? And how then do you use the initiatives like the Sustainable Development Goals and Global Reporting Initiative, which we've mentioned already, work alongside your materiality to frame your reporting strategy?
So with the seven goals and through the tool that we have, the Sustainable Chemistry Index, we are able to aggregate the individual impact of each business unit into a corporate additive value. So we have several, we report in the materiality spectrum the progress towards those goals, right? And some of those goals, the progress are not a specific KPIs, but we're talking, we have internally a way to measure the progress. Now, when it comes to corporate KPIs on footprint, which is particularly more common to report, we do it at the aggregate level. There is a process for all the manufacturing sites to report the emissions, all the environmental data to corporate. When it comes to policies and to the economic and financial performance of the company, that is also something that is open to the public and communicated across the businesses. But we go beyond that footprint and state of our business because we understand has mega trends like digitization, globalization, urbanization, sustainable development continue to push businesses forward to be this solving entity towards challenges. We understand that we have to push ourselves beyond the traditional key performance indicators and look at materiality beyond that footprint, which is a great way to start. Like every company needs to start on that foundation and have a strong foundation. Thankfully, at DAO, we have almost three decades foundation of setting goals. Mm-hmm. So that's why we can talk about the opportunities of the future and how this looks with the mitigating risk and opening opportunities for the markets that are opening across the globe. And when you were asking about the UN SDGs in particular, so even though we launched the 2025 sustainability goals back in 2015, the development of these goals happened since back 2009. At the same time that the UN SDGs were being developed, we were sustainability world people, you know, you get to know everybody and you get to hear about the initiatives. So these goals actually took inspiration out of the UN SDGs. Mm-hmm. And I guess really aligned well as we have the inspiration of how the company is going to look in the 200th birthday. So we actually have an alignment of the seven goals and the 17 SDGs.
Right.
And to see that we impact all of them at some level. Now, that's very challenging to say that one company is going to impact 17 SDGs. And it's a little bit unrealistic to say that we're going to be meaningful impact of those SDGs. But it really helps us to see that we are going on the same direction of this vision that we have as United Nations of the world, right? The SDGs are really helpful when it comes to looking at the business units, because we have 7 goals for the company, but each DAO business unit has their own goals underneath that umbrella, corporate umbrella of the 7 goals. So businesses are going to be able to support circular economy more than others. Other businesses are going to be able to support world-leading operations more than others. The same happens with the SDGs. Those goals are directly aligned to some SDGs. And for example, the home and personal care business of DAO is going to be able to support well-being more than, let's say, the packaging business. The packaging business will be able to support responsible consumption more than other businesses. Yeah. So it really gives us the flexibility to unify this vision, not just using the DAO internal language of the 7 goals, which is also external, we share that externally, but also to be able to talk across organizations around the world of how we support the UN SDGs. Yeah.
To this conclusion, I'd like to ask a little bit more about the Global Reporting Initiative. You said something very interesting yesterday, and you talked about how DAO, rather than conforming DAO to GRI, you've used GRI to work for DAO.
Yes.
And you mentioned yesterday that cut the size of your report significantly by adopting this approach, and anything that makes your report shorter, I think, is a good idea. So
yes.
That was great. But what are the pitfalls for engaging with GRI? What do you think companies do wrong? Because it can seem very daunting at times.
Yeah, so when I took the reporting role at DAO, it was very clear that we wanted to answer every single question of the GRI report. And I understand the guidelines at the time, now that it became standards, did not really request this. But it wasn't quite clear across the industry which ones to pick, because they were afraid of sensitivities. What if I don't answer this and somebody thinks that I should answer it because I have a play on this? And the reality of it is that, like, having the idea of materiality, the principle of materiality, become stronger in the last couple of years, it really helps us to focus, because if we don't focus on what is really material to our company, we don't really get anything done, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there are limited resources and you have to make sure that you are addressing the most tangible matters. So when we moved to standards in the GRI, it was a lot better, because now they made this language change, which might not seem a lot, but for a reporting space, it was a big thing. When you choose your material issues, you have to answer all the questions under that issue. And the question was, you shall, instead of you should. Hmm. And if you shall and you were not able to answer that section, that means you have to explain why and when you will be able to, what is the action plan. That really helped as a reporting practitioner at the time, helped me to make like the case, okay, guys, we really need to focus on what is material, because no longer we can just disclose whatever limited information we have. And we have a lot more information in the things that really matter to the company. So with GRI, I think it's a really good tool to use. It's helpful in the sense that as you're starting in this sustainability world, you can look at the areas that other companies are looking to report, but it shouldn't be a limitant. Many people take it as a limitant. Many people follow the question, answer format. And the reality of it is that the report itself, regardless of following GRI at the comprehensive level, core level, or just as a guidance, is meant to communicate your sustainability strategy, your sustainability performance in the 3 aspects of environmental, social, and economic, to let people, not just externally, but even your own employees, understand what is the direction that you all are going towards. And one of the biggest pitfalls of the report is that there is an overload of information, and that is, if there is not a materiality attached to it, then there is no way for somebody who is reading the report to understand if something is more important than something else. Like, if energy is more important than water for a specific company, mm-hmm. if they reported the same. Another big pitfall of the reporting is that there is not a prescribed for everything, I assume. For I say, there is not a prescribed format on the calculations of some of the data. And so that means that not all the reports, when you see the energy number in one company and the energy number in another company, you can compare them as apples to apples.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. So you have to be very cognizant of that limitation and also have the limitation of a request for context is not required. It's part of the principles of reporting, context,
sure,
but it's not prescribed per se. So often enough, we can talk about, oh, 750,000 megawatts of energy, right? It's a huge number, but what does it mean for your company, right? Is this 9%, 10%, 20%, 100% of your energy? To give a context to the reader, what is happening. So I was very happy when I took the report and I was able to say, okay, we're going to tell our story, who we are, what we do, how we do it, why we do it. And we're going to start writing the story and putting the GRI as an assistance. And then there is an index at the back of the report where people who are really interested on the index of the GRI can look for the page that is attached to that answer without disrupting the messaging.
Sure.
Another thing that is really important, even though I reduced it like from 200 pages to 80 pages, it's still 80 pages, right? And not everybody's going to read it unless they're incredibly interested. And many people just go to the report because they are looking for a specific number. So what we have done is that we have an executive summary, which is like 2 pages long. So that's an easy way to do it. And since our goals are really our North Star for sustainability, we have one pager that shows the things that we have done in the year that we are reporting and our progress towards that goal. So that gives like a really quick reference of what we have achieved, and it's a different way of reporting and it's still supporting the framework.
Sure. Well, thank you. That's a great introduction to your approach, and thank you very much for taking us through it. And thank you for your comments and your thoughts around what's material. I think it's really interesting the way you're kind of approaching the GRI. So you will think, how can this work for us, rather than thinking, how can Dow work for GRI? So Erica Ocampo, Dow Chemical, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Ian.